If you look at the organization, you look at our scores, a couple of things come to the forefront for me. Number one, those organizations that came in intact to the department, Secret Service, FLETC, Coast Guard, their scores are actually at or above the government-wide average. Curiously, or maybe not so, those organizations that were created as a result of the Homeland Security Act, TSA, CBP, ICE, score among the lowest in the federal government. So that says something to me about the lack of that institutional culture that Coast Guard and Secret Service, for example, bring a long history, a long tradition. They're all either military or law enforcement organizations primarily, so I don't see a huge major distinction there. It takes time to build a culture. The question is how much time and what's the right approach? So let's dig a little deeper into the EVS scores. Again, as I've looked at it, my view is that primarily the issues that are driving down the scores in those organizations tend to be pretty much the same. They're very local issues, issues that affect work groups, primarily for us out in the field. DHS has over 80% of their people work outside of Washington. They're saying that, and forget the issues for a moment on pay, you know, that's across the government, and there's very little anybody can do within any department or agency to affect that issue unilaterally. There are things you can do to sort of mitigate that, but you can't solve the pay issue yourself. People are frustrated over the inability of their supervisors. At least the perception is that the supervisors are not fair as it relates to either hiring or discipline. A constant theme in CBP, ICE in particular, is the belief that poor performers are not dealt with. Again, I would say that's probably a belief across many, many agencies and cabinet agencies in particular. But it's acute in those organizations. So I think the approach moving forward, and the good news is both the secretary and the new deputy secretary, Secretary Johnson and Deputy Secretary Mayorkas, have expressed a real desire and willingness to take this head on. And I think the deputy secretary will be putting a maximum amount of energy into this morale issue. But my view is this is less sort of a strategic issue than it is a tactical issue. This is something that has to be done from the ground up. You have to address the issues of supervision, the perception of fairness, the allocation of resources as it relates to training and development. And we have suffered, all federal government have suffered in that area. So this is not going to be fixed running around Washington. This really has to be sort of a ground up. And one other thing that I think really has to happen is that the labor unions, the bargaining units, have to be active participants and not sideline members in addressing this morale issue. Because where you have, in the case of TSA, the newest bargaining units or very strong bargaining units like you have at ICE and CBP, they have to be engaged and involved in this solution.
Were you able, from an Undersecretary of Management perspective, to look at this tactically?
It's going to take time to reverse the sincere belief that our employees have in those organizations that circumstances are sort of less than optimal. So the previous approach had been very strategic, very high level, getting people involved. The secretary created an employee engagement committee right from the top, all the components involved. I think that's a good first step, but the second step for me really has to be then the tactical approach and really the grounds up and really get into the organizations, primarily those that are really suffering and have low rank scores like CBP, ICE, TSA, and FEMA.
Did you guys use the EVS survey as a barometer, or did you use the EVS data? Because I know OPM is providing more and more data to agencies in terms of really getting down to specific levels of what this means, who's it from, why does it matter? Were you guys able to use that from a strategic level that can translate into that tactical level?
Yeah, I was very impressed, particularly the component organizations that were low ranked, really put a lot of effort into sort of dissecting the data. I mean, really spending a lot of time and forcing the organization to understand it. I can tell you anecdotally, I'd hear things like where higher level supervisors would bring in lower level supervisors and meet with employees and make sure that those more direct supervisors were held accountable for the performance of their work group. You can do that, but you have to do that on a sustained basis to gain the credibility with employees. Employees are smart enough to know that if they do it one time or see it once, that's not an effort. That's a show. So this has to be a very strategic and tactical and sustained effort over a period of time to gain the credibility of the workforce before you start to see a turnaround. FEMA, you know, which had historically been ranked very low, they stopped the decline, if you will. They're still ranked very low, but they're really making very strong and committed efforts to turn that around. It's not going to happen overnight. You're talking with very deep-seated held belief by employees, right, wrong, or indifferent, and it's more than just one-time shot. They have to see this over and over and over again.
I'm going to shift one more gear on you, one more hat that you wore. You weren't the CIO per se, but you obviously had oversight over a lot of the technology programs. You instituted the PARM initiative. Let's talk a little bit about the impact of PARM and IT management more broadly.
PARM, which stands for Program Accountability and Risk Management, really is the place in the organization that helps facilitate an effort around risk management and holding programs accountable for success. It's a small unit. It's only 40 or so people. So it has to do its work in collaboration with the components. And a piece that we put in place with the components, which were the component acquisition executives, but the idea was to create a place of accountability for the success of programs and to institute an effort to do a better job of identifying and then developing mitigation strategies and managing to those mitigation strategies the whole question of risk. Risk is not a binary issue. It's not high risk, no risk. There are degrees of risk. And the last 4 years have been very tough financially. So in any organization, as the financial pressure increases, the tolerance for risk goes down. But that doesn't mean you don't take calculated risk. So what PARM did was to identify as best as we can, what are the factors that contribute to risk? And again, how do you keep your eye on that? What are the sort of the diagnostic measures you can apply to be able to help the, if you will, the acquisition program, the patient? Not when they're already sick and dying on the floor, but as they're trending in the wrong direction. And it's different for IT as it is for sort of capital construction, building a ship, or acquiring services. So to be able to get that level of nuance, understand the difference of risk in those different types of acquisition programs, that was really key and important. That's what PARM does.
So where are we at with it? How much difference has it made for DHS? Because there's a GAO report that came out about a week or so ago involving a system at ICE and a system at CBP, TECS. And there was a lot of challenges with that system. And in fact, ICE came back and said, we're going to take a new path. And I think PARM probably played a role in pointing out some of the challenges and some of the problems that they saw and came into their decision to change course.
That's a good example. And there are many programs like that where you have a combination of legacy programs that have been ongoing since the establishment of the department's management directive for acquisition. So a lot of effort has been gone on by PARM along with our partners, and these are integrated teams that work on this. So this is not PARM in isolation. This is PARM with the CIO when it's an IT project, with the CFO, with the procurement office, and the components to be able to understand, document, baseline where the program is today, and force the programs to go back and rethink their approach. So in some cases, we've paused programs. We've actually told programs, stop spending money, redo your plan. On a couple of occasions, we've actually stopped the program altogether. ASP is one of those that we did a few years ago. BioWatch is a program, but Gen 3 is a program that has been on a strategic pause. That's a euphemism for we're going to put you in the closet for a little while as you kind of rethink, really to make sure that the approach we're taking is aligned with where the department, administration, Congress understands DHS needs to be in biodefense. Through PARM and through our acquisition review process, we have forced CBP and ICE to work together. Some of the issues were getting off some of the mainframe legacy system. Those are more complex than one would be led to believe. But TECS today is A, in a better place moving forward, having sort of shed some of the bad strategy in the past. And number two, and this is the real important part of what PARM and the acquisition review process does, it provides now documentation as to why we've made these decisions and these switches. And that's what was missing, and certainly the DHS and other government agencies as well, where you can't find the roadmap. Why did you do that? Why did you make that change? GAO may not find it a best practice, but at least we are documented why we're taking certain steps or why we're taking certain risk. So if we've allowed a program to do something, we've documented that. We documented the decision and what controls we put in place, usually because it's important for the mission. But the roadmap is there. So we're going to be able to report to OMB and to Congress and show them the documentation. This is why we took this risk.